What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA Home Loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
An education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Write It Up, a podcast all about the ins, outs, and in-betweens of self-publishing. I'm P.E. Craven, or you can call me Paige. I'm the author of the Realm Leaper series and also Oak, which is currently on Kindle Vella. And I have been self-publishing for the past 2 years, and I'm so excited to welcome you to today's show. So today's show is all about how to find a good editor. And that's a very subjective term. Good is really going to depend on what it is that you're looking for. So before we get into that, let's just do a couple of quick updates. I am going to be at the Authors Fair in Chattanooga. It's held at the Chattanooga Public Library. That'll be on September 7th. So if you are local and are not, first off, if you're not following the Chattanooga Public Library and you are local, then go give them a follow, because if nothing else, we ought to be supporting our local libraries. But if you have been following them, make sure you pay attention to that announcement about the Authors Fair. There'll be tons of other local authors there who are excited about their work. I'm excited to be one of them. So hopefully I'll see you guys in person on September 7th. Also, on my website, I have launched a line of bookish merch. So t-shirts, I have tote bags, some little accessory bags. I really like designing, and I had the opportunity to do that a lot in the previous careers that I had. So this is kind of a side hustle that lets me feed into that creative energy. If you are into fall spooky season, if you want something to showcase how much you love being a reader, then go check it out. There's some really cute designs. You will probably see it on this YouTube channel pretty soon, because I will be breaking out all of that fall themed attire like very soon. I'm excited about it. Also, I am now offering book bundles on my website, so you can buy both of the books from the Realm Leaper series for a discounted price. It does come with some limited edition artwork. It comes with a little art card. So that's a kind of like just a fun addition that I added. I had the bundles at the Black Hearts Masquerade and book signing in Nashville. It was really popular. So I decided, why not? Let's throw it up on the website and see how it does. So that's up on my website. If you like a good deal, if you like paperbacks, they come signed. So go on over, check it out, and get them while it's good. Okay, today's episode, how to find an editor. This can be, I think, one of the things that will make or break your book. It can either make your book just a stunning piece of work, or it can really lower its wow factor and how effective it is at selling. An editor is the thing that's going to make your book a complete whole package. And one of the things that I find is on a lot of the Facebook pages and on just various social media platforms, beginner writers, beginner self-publishers ask the question all the time, do I really need an editor? I'm a really good writer. I've proofread it so many times. You know, I've gone through my manuscript 10 times. Do I really need to invest the money on an editor? And the answer is yes, because everybody is going to have their strengths and weaknesses. There are parts to your storytelling that are going to be extremely powerful, very good, very effective methods and tools for telling stories. If you are writing nonfiction, there's going to be strengths in writing your informative piece of work. We all have weaknesses, though, and your editor is the one that's going to come in, identify the weaknesses, and help you smooth out the wrinkles so that your reader has the best experience that they can. They also help define what the purpose or what the intent of your writing is. Sometimes we just have a good story, or sometimes, you know, again, if we're writing nonfiction, sometimes we just know the point that we're trying to get across. But once you get to the final stages where you're writing a blurb, you're getting your elevator pitch, you are creating marketing material, your editor is going to help you weed out the most important critical pieces so that you can create that marketable package at the end. So I would say, and I think most writers would agree with me, an editor is a non-negotiable. That is the thing that you must have for a really good book and a really good book release. The good news about that is that your budget can go anywhere from, you know, under $1,000 for a long novel to several thousand dollars. There are editors that are going to fit almost every budget, unless your budget is zero. There is potential for you to find the editor that fits within your financial needs. So that's the good news. The bad news is you're going to have to do a little bit of research. You're going to have to go through the process with quite a bit of intention to find the editor that's going to suit your needs and your budget. So a few things that you can do in order to help you find your editor. These are going to be your tips and tricks as you go through that process. And we'll also talk a little bit about where you can find these people, because knowing how to get an editor is one thing, but then actually tracking them down can be quite difficult. Not always, but there are some, you know, some things to be aware of. We'll also go over some information to keep you from being taken advantage of, or to hopefully miss out on any bad experiences that other authors have had themselves. So the first thing you're going to do before you talk to any editors, before you begin that process, the first thing you need to do is know what kind of editor you want. If you are a brand new author, my suggestion to you is to always start with the developmental editor. There are 3 to 4 different types of editors. Now, I say 3 to 4 because the last two, sometimes people lump those together, which you can do, but there are also some editors that treat that those processes completely separate. So just be aware of that when you're talking to editors and they ask you about what you're looking for. So the first one is your developmental editor. This is especially critical for epics, fantasies, sci-fi, especially anything where you are building a world by itself. A developmental editor is going to be really useful. Now, on the flip side, historical fiction, you probably want a developmental editor that is very knowledgeable in the era that you're writing or the genre that you're writing. The key with that is they are going to help make sure that the characters, the world, and the plot all make sense for the setting that you have created. They're going to check the direction of the plot, the character arcs, the conflict, even the costuming, especially if we're talking about historical fiction or an informative nonfiction piece. A developmental editor can be really critical for making sure that your sources are up to date and that it is following the trajectory of the purpose of your novel or your novel. So that's your developmental editor. Again, this is really important for beginning authors. I know that there are some authors who write fantasy or fiction, historical fiction, who bypass the developmental editor. And that's a personal preference. I enjoy working with a developmental editor because I tend to crave feedback on the storytelling element. And so that's just part of my creative process. But again, it's really useful for beginning writers, beginning publishers as well. So your second type of editor is going to be a line editor. And now your line editor is not going to work so much in the story. They're going to do more work around readability. So is this writing engaging? Is it easy to read? Does it keep my attention? They're going to do some polishing, some cleaning. They may make some suggestions on formatting. So even typeface or font. They're kind of the second process. Now, some developmental editors will also line edit at the same time. It can be kind of hard to separate the two, right? Because if you're developing the story, you're probably also analyzing the readability, the ease or the comfort of reading the story. So those two things are probably going to happen at the same time. Now, some people have them completely separate. And I think that has to do more with work style and editing style. So when you are talking to a potential editor, they may lump those two services together, or they may be very specific. Okay, I am only looking at story arc. We are only developing and getting this story from point A to point B. That's your developmental editor. And then if you want to line edit, that's a separate charge. So again, that depends on A, how you work, but also how the editor works. Your third kind of editor is a copy editor. Now, a copy editor, they're getting into the nitty-gritty. They're going to be looking at punctuation. They may even look at specifically at dialect. They'll look at punctuation. They are the ones who are really more focused on the language and the technical writing, right? So not the storytelling, not the character development, just, you know, if there's a missing period or there's a comma splice, your copy editor is the one that goes in and polishes that part of the story up. And then your final type of editor is a proofreader. A proofreader. And this is where I said sometimes we combine the copy editor and the proofreader. Because the proofreader is the one that goes through, does a final read, a final check, sometimes two or three. to really, really look for typos. This, again, is missing periods, misspellings, uncapitalized letters, those really tiny, small, final little pieces. That's your proofreader. Most copy editors are also doing the work of a proofreader. And I would say, even looking at traditional publishing, proofreading is kind of falling down off the way. Like, they're kind of becoming less critical, I guess. This is really obvious in a lot of those big name publications that have come out in the last couple of years that have had quite a few typos or missed punctuation. I do think publishing is falling into the same habit of like fast fashion, where trends are just rapidly changing because publishing is becoming so much more accessible and so much more fast-paced. So I think we are all becoming more, I guess, more accustomed to finding typos in really large projects. So that might mean that, you know, in self-publishing, having a proofreader becomes less and less important because it's kind of becoming less and less important in traditional publishing. So that is something that, you know, to consider as you go into editing and finding your editor. Okay, so once you know what kind of editor you are looking for, then you want to start finding the person you want to work with. And before you do that, you need to know a few things ahead of time. So, for example, most editors will charge by the word, right? So it might be like 5 cents per word or 1 cent per word. That adds up, you know, if you have 400,000 words, then that's kind of the price you're going to look at when you get there. Some editors are going to charge by the hour instead of by the word. So you just have to have the information ahead of time so that they can give you a rough estimate of how much it's going to cost. So know your word count. Be honest about your experience level. If this is your first book that you have ever written, tell them that. It doesn't mean that your book isn't worthy or valuable, but it helps them know where you're starting and maybe where their focus is going to be as they start the editing process. Go ahead and write down your goals as well. When you start working with the editor at the very beginning, you want to have some ideas of things that you would like to work on. So maybe it's pacing. My second book, that was something I was very concerned with, was pacing, because it is multi-point of view. So there's a lot of different characters. There were several different settings that we were covering. And so I was worried that the story was dragging because there was a lot of details that had to be kind of refreshed a few times as we jumped from character point of view. So when my editor and I first sat down, our very first meeting, I told her, I said, I really want you to pay attention to the pacing. If it gets boring or super slow, then that's the area that we need to work on the most. And that really streamlined our work together, is focusing on that pacing, making sure the characters were growing enough at a comfortable pace for the reader, because you don't want to go too fast. That will exhaust your reader. And you don't want to go too slow because that's going to bore your reader. So that was our goal, is looking at pacing. The last thing before you start working with your editor, and these are questions you're going to have a conversation with your editor about, is your schedule. So when are you planning on publishing this book? Do you have a date in mind? It's okay if you don't. If you don't have a date in mind, then say, like, you know, this is kind of open-ended. I'm not sure, you know, when I want to publish this yet. That's fine, but you need to make sure that it's going to fit in with their schedule as well. Now, your editor should be very upfront with you from the beginning what their schedule looks like and when they believe that they're going to be working on this. What is their meeting schedule going to be like? How often can they meet? Or is it just all going to be virtual through shared documents? Because some editors are going to work that way as well. So have some ideas of how you want to work, how long is your piece, when do you want it published, what are your goals. Those are the things that you need to already have written down and safe somewhere so that when you start talking to a potential editor, you know up front what you're asking of them. It's also a good idea to have your budget already set in your mind. That doesn't mean you don't need to be a little bit flexible. And that is honestly, that's how flexible, that's a personal decision, right? But also be prepared to say, you know, oh, I'm sorry, that price is not going to work for me, because there are other editors out there that will fit your budget. So don't give up because one or two editors don't fit your budget. That's okay. Keep looking. There are editors out there that are going to fit your budget. And most likely, if it's budget, you are also going to be able to find an editor that is going to work better with your work style as well. So once you start talking to editors, the first thing you need to ask them before you even go over schedule or word count or any of that is, what genre do they typically work with? I would not want to find an editor who's most comfortable working with nonfiction, science, or medical publications. That is not the best editor for me. I write high fantasy, romantic, love stories with epic world building. Somebody who is more familiar with nonfiction or even historical fiction probably isn't my best fit. I want somebody who really works well in the epic fantasy sci-fi storytelling. If you are contemporary romance, you don't necessarily want somebody whose only thing that they do is sci-fi. That's not going to be the right blend. So once you have all that in mind, you've talked to a few editors, now you have figured out what their genres are, you are making contacts, the next thing you're going to do, once you have them narrowed down, so you have maybe three editors in mind, check their qualifications. Ask for a CV, ask for a resume, do some research, see if they have any mentions on other publications, make sure the genres are lining up, maybe even make sure that the books that they have worked on previously would be comps for your books. So a good one for me would be working with an editor who has, what's a good one, published, A Fate Inked in Blood. That's the one I was thinking of. So that editor would probably align pretty closely with the work that I have published. Or The Priory of the Orange Tree. That editor would do pretty good with the work that I have done. Even the editor for The Bone Season, one of my favorite series ever. That editor would also probably work pretty well in my series as well, because there is some contemporary urban fantasy elements to my work. So those would be comps. And if they have worked on any books similar to those, then I know it's probably going to be a good fit. So you've checked for the qualifications. You've seen that whether or not they're familiar with your genre, they have worked with other authors before. They have a CV. The next thing to do is ask if you can have a sample edit. I don't think I would be willing to work with somebody who could not give me a sample edit. I need to know whether our communication styles and work styles are going to mesh. If our styles of communicating don't line up, probably I'm not going to have a very enjoyable time working with this person. And your editor should be somebody that you trust, somebody that you can easily understand, somebody that you can easily work with, because there's going to be times where they have to tell you something that's, you know, could, if taken the wrong way, could be not very nice. So a sample edit, what that's going to be is you're going to send them a sample of your work. So sometimes it could be the first chapter. Maybe it's like selections of a couple of different chapters. This is almost like an audition for an editor. So they would take a look at your work. They're going to highlight it, do what they do as far as giving feedback, and then they'll send it back to you. That's going to give you a pretty good idea of the type of editing they do. So the editor I have, she did that with me as well. I think she took the first two full chapters and gave me back a report. And on the report, there was a document that said, all right, these are the things I noticed in your work. So at the time, I was coming out of a very academic writing setting. I had been writing some scientific work and academic journals. And in those types of works, honestly, we use a lot of compound sentences, lots of semicolons, kind of clinical writing. And she picked up on, you know, the compound sentences. She's like, you can shorten this up. You don't need to, you know, lump everything into one thing. We can drag it out a little bit. So that was one of the things I realized early on, was able to go back and clean up before we started working together officially. You know, she gave me some information about our, you know, the characters, things that she was noticing. So that gave me a good idea of the kind of editor that she was and how she communicates. Now, on the flip side, there was another editor that I sampled, and I sent him my work, and the first thing he did was rip to shreds my opening chapter. He did not like that it started out with an action scene, and he thought it was just going to drive away my readers, and nobody wants to start with action. They need to be led into it. And he wanted to cut the scene entirely. And honestly, he could have pried that opening scene out of my cold, dead hands. I was not getting rid of that scene. I love that scene. That was like what got me into writing this story to begin with. There's no way I was changing that scene, but it did tell me he doesn't necessarily align with the type of storytelling that I do. His preferred method of storytelling is different from mine. So our work styles don't mesh. It wouldn't have been a very good working relationship. And what's funny is later he actually applied to be a beta reader for a different project. And I think he just forgot that he had sample edited for me before. But he got into the first chapter. And again, the first thing he said was, this is a horrible way to start a story. And just, you know, this type of storytelling. I don't know. He had lots to say about it. And I just kindly said, okay, well, thank you for your feedback. My guess is this is not your preferred genre. And he agreed. And, you know, we left on amicable terms. But it was just, that's just kind of a funny story of working with editors and beta readers. So the sample edit, I would say, is, I would probably the top of the list of priorities in finding your editor. Because if they don't enjoy your genre, and if they don't communicate in a well in a way that's receptive to you, it's going to make the process a lot more difficult than it really needs to be. So you know what kind of editor you want. You have checked their qualifications. You've gotten a sample edit. They've given you their sample back. You've discussed the quote. They've given you a quote. The last thing you're going to do is set up your schedule. Okay, and that's going to be in the nitty-gritty. You're going to go over, my editor and I, we like to meet periodically. So we will, at the beginning of the course of editing, we'll set up a time to meet. So my first book, I think we were meeting, I think we met every week for 4 months because she was also doing some coaching with me. So we were meeting once a week. She would have a chapter already edited ahead of time, and we would correspond via email about what are our goals for this next meeting. And then we would discuss it in person. And she, you know, if need be, she could go into more explanation about a section, or I could ask her a question about, okay, well, you said this, but if we change that, then it's going to change something down the line. How do we fix that? So we could brainstorm together. My first book has, because it's a portal fantasy, so there's multiple worlds, and on the cover, there is there's artwork of one city on the bottom, and then upside down, there's another city at the top. Well, she had the great idea, because we have kind of like two main characters, there's two different blurbs on the back of the book, and one is upright and one is upside down. And that was her idea. So she had a great marketing idea and was able to share that with me. And it's one of, I think, the neatest elements of my book design. So having that face-to-face talk and brainstorming can be extremely useful when you are building out your product. Some editors are not going to want to meet face-to-face. They're just going to go through the document. They're going to mark it up with red highlighter, put their comments in, and, you know, if you have a question, you might be able to email them back. But, you know, that their style might just be very cut and dry, and that might work for you. That might be the kind of working relationship you're looking for. And if that is, then that's great. That's the kind of editor that you would want to find then. So come up with your schedule. Be honest about what you're looking for and the types of services you would like to get from your editor. And then just go for it. Be open to their feedback. Their job is to criticize. So they are going to tell you if something is good or something is bad, and you have to be able to trust them. And most of the time, it's going to be kind of clinical, sterile feedback, you know, like clean up this sentence. This sentence is too chunky. Use less words. You change the name of, or you change the spelling of this name. It'll be kind of straightforward. And then sometimes you might get something funny. My editor put in one of her edits. She said, oof, that was a bit of dry dialogue for you, which I thought was hilarious. I laughed out loud when I read it because it was. I had hit a point where I didn't know what I wanted him to say, so I just put something down and moved on. And later I was able to go back and clean it up and make it a lot more interesting. But you can have a really fun, positive relationship with your editor if that is the kind of relationship you want. But you're also welcome to have a very just cut and dry professional off-camera relationship where, you know, they just send you the feedback. You got to be receptive to their feedback though. When you start working with an editor, be aware they are going to give you feedback, and it is your job as the author to hear it, process it, and apply it where you see fit. Sometimes they are going to give you some some suggestions that you're like, no, that doesn't align with what I want for my story. And that is also okay. You do not have to take every piece of advice that your editor gives you. Okay. All right. So finding an editor can be kind of tricky as far as just actually locating an editor. There are a lot of editors on Instagram that have been publishing their services on Instagram. So you could start there looking for somebody on social media who is advertising their services. I would be very wary, maybe not wary, but I would be do my due diligence to check who they have worked with before. If they are brand new to editing, I would be pretty strict with my budget, how much I'm willing to invest in that. But I would also, I would potentially hire on a second editor to just double check. And that could be as little as, you know, doing a line or a copy editing double check if you hired somebody newer for developmental editing. That doesn't mean that they aren't excellent, but if this is my first go at it, I would probably want somebody a little bit more experienced. So Instagram is one. Facebook, that's actually how I found my editor. I found her through supporting beginner writers, I believe. It might have been the Female Writers Women Only Facebook page. So it was one of those Facebook pages, and that was how I found her. And she's terrific. Our work styles work extremely well together. Readsy is also another place that people have found really effective editors. And then you can also look at places like Fiverr. Contra is another platform for like self-employed people. What's the other one? Upwork is another platform for that kind of service. So you could look at those platforms. Another really good one is to reach out to some other authors. Ask if you are writing a book that is maybe a comp for another self-published book. So they are in the similar genres. There are similar elements in the storytelling. I would not hesitate to reach out to that author and just say, hey, read your book. I loved it. I am also working on a novel and I'm looking for an editor. Do you mind sharing who you worked with? Most authors, I think, would be happy to recommend their editor. So that is another route you could go. Now, one area I would be very cautious of going into is any vanity or hybrid publication. So a hybrid publisher is like self-publishing, except they do the printing and distributing, but you do the initial financial investment. So you would hire the cover artist and the editor, and you would probably do some investment on the marketing and advertising as well. And sometimes they do this by selling subrights, which means that they have a partial royalty right to your book. And then sometimes they do it by, you know, once you have a finished product, you send it over to them and they will format it and get it ready for print. And then they handle the print and distribution. And each book, basically, they would get paid back like a portion of the book to make back their expenses on print and distribution. Some of those hybrid presses have in-house editors. And I'm not saying that could never be a good thing. There are some hybrid presses, some hybrid publishers who do an excellent job. I think Midnight Tide is one. I don't know too much about them, but other than that's what they do. So, but there are others, and some of them are, we're going to say, scam adjacent. I'm not going to say that they're a scam, but I also am not going to say that they are reliable. So be aware of the hybrid publishers who come in and ask for, you know, especially if they come in immediately asking for a very specific dollar amount in investment. That to me is a red flag. Another one to be wary of are vanity presses. Very similar. They're going to ask for a fee upfront. They're going to demand that you use their editors, their cover artists. The danger with that is sometimes if you don't read the fine print, they end up owning the royalties to your work. And it's very difficult to get your royalties back or to get the copyright back because sometimes they even have you sign over the copyright. Vanity presses are very dangerous for self-publishers. If you think something is a vanity press, my recommendation, the first thing you're going to do is find one of those Facebook groups or Discord author groups. Ask if anybody else has had an experience with that publisher or with that press house and see what the responses are. A lot of times what you'll find is other authors will say, oh yeah, I got that same message and you know they wanted X amount of dollars or they wanted complete royalties, complete rights to my work. Or you'll find somebody who did work with them and they're like, yeah, I invested $5,000 and I got 25 cents back and I can't get the rights to my book back. That has happened. So be wary of the vanity presses. And sometimes it's hard to know what's a vanity press and what's a hybrid press. Because a lot of the elements to their business are similar. So just be aware, be careful. Make sure once you start writing with an editor that you have a contract drawn up to be very clear about what their responsibilities are, what your responsibilities are, and how you're going to progress through the process of editing your book. So that is all I have on that. I would say this process of self-publishing is going to be your most important process. It's going to be the most critical part of writing your book. The second most critical is going to be the cover art, and we'll talk about that on another episode someday later. So if you listened and you got some value out of this, I would really appreciate a rating, comment, feedback. What are you loving? What are some topics you would like to hear more about? What are some experiences that you've had as a self-published author or a new author? And I will try to get all of that into an episode coming up soon, before we end this season. So that's all I have for now. Again, please give me a rating, give me some feedback, a comment, share it with your friends, share it with your other author friends, and then we will see you next week.